everyone. How's it going? Welcome back to Command Your Social. We're here with another episode. I'm Nick Baldwin, your host. Got my two amazing co-hosts with me, Jesse Newquist and Leslie Jackson. What is going on?
Hi, guys. Nice to see you and wonderful to be here. Happy day to you, sir.
We have a very important guest with us today. He is the VP of Learning at Keller Williams Realty International. He's also the founder of the Pivot Group on Facebook, which is now over 100,000 members. His name is James Shaw. Thanks for being here, James.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thanks for having me. Happy to be here.
It is awesome to have you and awesome to talk to you. So let's just kind of get right into it. So Explain to us your role, VP of Learning at Keller Williams. What does that entail?
Oh my God. Well, once I figure it out, I'll let you know. But, awesome. But here's the thing. It's all about bringing the training and the training value proposition of Keller Williams out to our people. So we're just always looking for the right ways to do that. And I get to partner with Meredith Maples, who runs KWU, and so many others, to just make sure we're doing the right stuff, doing the right things, and bringing agents what they need right now.
I love that. That's awesome. And there's a lot of amazing new content being rolled out, and I'm sure that you have a hand in most of that. And I want to let our listeners know that James is also here because, like I said, he runs one of the largest social media communities on Facebook for real estate professionals called Pivot. But I want to go back to before Pivot was huge. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It wasn't called Pivot, right? It was a different group. And yeah. What was the group? What was the purpose of the group at that
time? Well, the purpose of the group was I was in Mexico. Teaching shift for Family Reunion Mexico. And while I was there, I remember them calling me. This is like, you know, COVID was kind of out there, but we didn't really kind of get it. And I remember them calling me and going, and I thought, oh, are we going to cancel? Like, I'm not going to come and do this class. And she said, nope, the only corona we have for you down here in Mexico is not a virus. So I packed up my bags and it's true. That's what she said. So I pack up my bags, I go, and I'm doing these 2 days of shift. Of course, I don't speak any Spanish. So I'm going to do it in English and they're translating and back and forth. And so I do my first session and then I go back to my room, my hotel room, and I get one channel in English. It was CNN International, and I flip it on and it says at the bottom, Tom Hanks has COVID. And that's when I realized everyone took it serious.
Right.
Like it was not.
I remember that.
Yeah, of course. Everyone.
A celebrity.
When I bring the story up, everyone says, too. I remember exactly where I was when I found out Tom Hanks had COVID. That's what
America's sweetheart, Tom Hanks, had COVID and everyone felt so sad. I remember that.
And then it was like, I don't know, 2 days, within like 24 hours, everything's canceled, right? The NCAA tournament was canceled. The baseball season was postponed. The NBA season had stopped. The NHL, I mean, all these things. And then they said, we're not going to have travel and I'm in Mexico. And so I do my second day and then I come home and it's as I was actually in the car ride from the resort to the airport in Mazatlan to make my way back to Tampa. I had this realization that things were going to get different. All I could keep hearing in my head were bold laws. I was a bold coach at the time. So I keep hearing, you know, focus on the plan, not the problem. And all these have been popping in my mind. And I know a lot of people were freaking out. And so I just would post some of these things and they got the people really interact. Normally I post a bold law. It gets like 2 likes, but then, you know, if I posted a bold law, you know, in March 15th of 2020, there were people commenting and thank you so much for this and stuff like that. So I realized people needed something. And I thought truth is that the market was going to tank. I thought that as things shut down and we braced for possible layoffs and stuff like that, that the market was going to tank. And most of the people in this company have never been part of a buyer's market or a shifting market. If they got in the business 2011 or later, it's been a seller's market. Well, I was a team leader in 2009 and 10 and 11 when the market had crashed the first time. And so I just like, well, I know this shift book. People are still going to buy houses, but we got to help our people who don't understand what this market's going to look like. So I'm going to do like a little 15-minute live stream every morning. I didn't even know what Zoom was. I didn't have a Zoom account then. But so I started the Facebook group as a way for me to pop on. Like I was just going to do a Facebook Live, Nick, where it was just me talking to the camera for like 10 minutes about, you know, reading something out of shift and saying, look, even when things get scary, like you can still sell houses and make money. because that book has been so helpful, right, to all of us. It really has. So that was the point. Someone said you should do this on Zoom. So I'd set up a Zoom account. I'm doing all this like in the car from the hotel to the airport in Mazatlan. And so I said, okay, I'll do that. 2 days later, it's got like, I don't know, 15,000 members in this Facebook group. And so that's, and we had called it Shift Daily because I was going to talk about Shift every day. It was going to be this thing I did for like 3 months to talk about Shift. Jay Papasan called me and he was like, hey man, thank you for doing that. Number one, number two, we were going to do something, but there's no reason for like us to compete. This is what I love about Keller Williams. And you know this too, Nick and Jesse and Leslie, you all know this, that when there's great people out there doing great stuff, they just say, let's work together. And so Jay said, let's do it together. So they came up with Pivot Shift Ahead. That was a KW name. I maintain the group and run the group. But here it is 2 years later. We have 102,000 people in it. We're not quite lab coats, but you know, we're on the way.
Can I just make a point?
You know, listen, wait, I just want to say one thing. We feel the heat over at Lab Coats, James. You're bringing the fire.
We're not in competition, right? We do totally different things. And we have a lot of people that are in both spaces.
For
and
sure.
If someone talks about pivoting your page, I get a bunch of members. And someone mentions Same Lab thing. Coats in my page, you guys get a bunch of members.
Yep.
There's, I remember that from, you know, from being a team leader at the time and having a few hundred scared business owners in the office, how valuable it was and how cool it was. You touched on it a little bit, James, but how cool it was that you opened it up to, it didn't matter if you weren't with Keller Williams, correct? Right. Like you could come into the group and learn because as realtors, we have to stick together. Yeah. That was a big moment. That was an aha moment for me. That was like, okay, James Shaw's a great leader. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Blew up to how long did it take to blow up?
Well, it blew up immediately, basically. I mean, as far as, you know, I don't know, 10 to 15,000 members in 2 days, I think is pretty good. We add 300 to 400 people a week to the group. And what's fun about it is we still do this call. I mean, I was going to do this call for a few months. I remember one call I was on in April and I'm like, yeah, we might still have like COVID restrictions in June. Like, I just get this feeling it's not going away for a while. It might be June. I didn't ever say what year. So I guess I was technically right.
Right.
But, nailed it.
I mean, here we are. We're still doing the call. We get 3,000 people watch the call every morning.
Crazy.
That's amazing.
The recording. So
And James is like right 8 a.m. Eastern, right on the dot. He is in the group sometimes 7:59. Mm-hmm. I'm like, what time do you wake up? But I was, thinking that, you know, at that time, people just needed. Mm-hmm. They needed a place to go. They needed to hear positive information and positive strategy. Yeah. Right. I mean, I remember
freaking out.
With Lab Coats that year, 2020, that year, we had over 2.5 million views on our webinars just in that year of 2020, because like they just wanted that content and they needed that strategy and they needed to know that people were there for them and giving them that information because everybody was lost. We were all making it up as we went along, you know?
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, I love about the group too is like in that moment, James, you built this sense of security for our people. Not just our people, but for agents around the world. And I just think that is so powerful and so cool.
Well, thank you. We did have them on. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. We're super quick, James. I want to hear from you, not me. Gosh. But team leaders, if y'all are listening, and I know a lot of you do, make sure you're in the group and your people are in the group. Yes. But like, you can literally just transcribe everything that James says and provide tremendous value to your agent in meetings, in power ups. And you guys know that coming up with content like that, it's not easy all the time.
Yeah.
And so James is a resource. I literally used to transcribe the morning meetings and the morning Zooms for the office.
Well, yeah, also,
so
you're
so nice. I mean, the thing about
it's true.
The thing I would say about it is number one, like I actually do very little of the content. I just read from the book. Like I read a paragraph from the book and then other people talk about what they think. So I appreciate the credit. I think that if I were a team leader today, whether you can be, you know, on the daily call live or watch the recording, it doesn't matter, but that would make that part of my plan. Not because I think I'm some genius, but what you're hearing is from what's impacting agents and you're hearing from strategies agents are using. So I think that's number one. The number two thing is, I think by the way, we always, whether it was in the beginning of the pandemic or right now or 20 years from now, we all need a community where we feel positive and we feel like we're a part of something and we feel heard and we just feel connected to others. Mm-hmm. And that's what's happened in this community. It's been one that we have. I put the Zoom in, when we're on Zoom, I put it in the gallery view. I put mm-hmm. it in gallery view so I can see everybody.
See everybody, yep.
And you see everybody. I mean, there isn't a single agent in our company who would not be represented in this community. And it's hard to find places like that and feel like you can have safe conversations. So I think those are two things. We've created the space that's safe and inclusive and welcoming. And then two, it's the agents who are providing the content. So as a leadership member, you know, as a team leader or an MCA or an OP or regional director, to be able to hear what agents are doing and what's impacting them is invaluable.
Yeah. Go ahead, Leslie. Yeah, sorry.
No, I was just, and from all of that, James, I just am curious because you're coming from so much value and you were giving like crazy. I would almost want to know how many people joined Keller Williams at that point. Cause if I wasn't a Keller Williams agent, I would be like, so on it.
Yeah. There are people that have, I mean, I get, I don't know, a handful a month that will email me and say, hey, I joined Keller Williams and your group was part of the reason why. Yes.
I also will get people
that's like, hey, I'm thinking about leaving. But your group is part of why. And I want it. And like, they'll call me and we'll mm-hmm. walk through, you know, well, maybe mm-hmm. leaving isn't the right thing for you. And we'll walk through that and I'll get them in touch with leadership. So yeah, it's become, it's going to become a space for that too.
Indirectly, we would send videos of from the Pivot Shift group and invites to the group also to recruits. So indirect impact as well, for sure.
You know what's great about that? And, you know, if leaders are listening, I would make it a step of every recruiting appointment, especially with people who are in production, because we're talking about strategies agents are using to be in production. And it's such a safe space because they can, if they get on the call, for example, they can just keep their camera off. Never say anything, but they're going to learn something. And here's the thing. It's kind of the atomic habits effect, right? So if you want to build the right kind of habits, you want to hang out with people who have that habit and you're more likely to build the habit, or you'll decide you don't want to build the habit and you'll leave that group. And, you know, we speak so much Keller Williams all the time. I mean, we're reading Gary's and Jay and Dave's books. So I don't read other people's books, and we're talking about MAPS coaching and we're talking about how you use command and we're doing all that. And so then people go, okay, yeah, I need that. So it's a smart move.
So I have a question about the content. So, you know that it's very difficult to keep a group of that size focused and on the right path all the time. And every now and again, you know, I'm sure we all kind of slip up, something gets through the cracks, someone's rude in the group, you know, that type of thing. How do you, as the main, you know, founder and main admin of that group, what do you do to keep it as focused as possible?
Okay. So this is a key for me. If you're going to talk about like logistics of running a Facebook group,
yeah,
it is not a democracy. This Facebook group is everything is approved that goes in. It is so highly moderated, and that's how we keep it focused. And now, in comments, you know, people might get in comments and say something, you know, a little snarky or whatever, but right. Others will come and take care of it. I don't usually have to worry about it, but we keep it pretty tight. Like, we don't do referral requests, because otherwise it'd just be, that's all we would have in there. I need an agent in Omaha. I need an agent in whatever. Mm-hmm. So we just don't do any of those, and they don't ever get in because I approve every post that goes in. And if it's a really goofy question, that adds no relevance, then we don't mm-hmm. put it in. And there are some people there. There's this one dude that like, he'll message me and it's like, why don't you ever approve my posts? And I'll be like, cause they're not of any value, but I don't say that. I just say, cause they didn't meet our standards, it's highly moderated.
I love it.
And that came from experience that I had with being a moderator of another very large Facebook community for Keller Williams that still exists. That has run into some challenges with things people have posted and stuff getting out of hand before you can get there. So yeah, we keep it highly moderated, Nick. And that's one thing that keeps it a pretty safe space.
No, I love that you said that it's not a democracy, you know, because everybody thinks, oh, you know, I look at it like this, you know, you're not going to come over to my house
right.
when I tell you to take your shoes off and ignore me and then walk into my living room with your shoes on and put your feet up on my coffee table when 100%. You have dog poop, like on the bottom.
Yeah.
It's the same exact thing.
It is. Yeah.
That is
I had somebody get mad at me one time. They said, well, you know, they start pulling a free speech. And so I had to explain what free speech actually means. And then
James takes out the Constitution.
I did. Here it is. This is what it means. But it's like, you know, it's look, it's my group. I created it. I've got a point in mind. If it's not for you, it's totally cool. But you know, we got 102,000 people in there. So we're doing something right. And I think at the end of the day, I want people to come in. Look, they know what our community is about. And I want them to come in and get the value we want to give them so that they can go have a great life, sell a ton of homes and help a bunch of people and be a pillar in their own community. And that's really what I want them to be able to do.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense because, you know, you got to keep it going in the direction that you want it to go in, which kind of brings me to culture. Would you say that culture plays a big role in keeping a group like that successful?
We have a culture. I don't think there's any mistake about that. I think that the members of the community call it a community. They don't call it a Facebook group. They're not part of a Facebook group or a Facebook page. They feel like they're part of the Pivot Shift Ahead community. We've done 2 in-person events with this group now that we called Pivot In Person. So now they've called themselves Pipsters. Like they've come up with a name. and I go, we have to be careful not to become clicky, right? So we want to be an environment that will be welcoming and inclusive of other people. And yet they call it a community. And so I went and tried to figure out what community does. So if we're going to be a community, what does community do? And what I've discovered, I think, is it does 2 things. And I think you do this in lab coats, Nick, too. And I think any successful large community does this. But it gives people hope, number one. That's the first thing a community does, is it gives people hope. And then the second thing it does is it inspires and promotes progress. And so if you look at Pivot Shift Ahead, just like you would, like I said, at lab coats or any other successful community, people came in to it originally because they needed hope. Like they didn't know what to do and where to go and what might work. And by the way, they're feeling that now as they, you know, have seen the market evolve a little bit. It's not shifted, but it's evolving. So as they see it evolve, they come in to get a little bit of hope. But then the key is if you want them to come back and be engaged is you do have to promote and inspire progress in some way. Like they have to take action in some way and get a return and go, oh my gosh, that worked. That was helpful. I need to keep coming back. I need to keep engaging. And like I said, I think lab coats is the same thing. When they look at tech and get people that don't get it and struggle with it. So they've come to get a little bit of hope. And then you give them strategy and idea that they can use. And oh my gosh, I got leads by implementing what they told me. So that works. So I'm going to come back. And I do think if you want to run a large Facebook community, that would be to have those 2 pieces in mind. An agent can do the same thing for their zip code. I talked to Ellie McIntyre, who runs this like Facebook group for Cadenceville, Maryland, which I'd never heard of. And you hadn't either until just now. And it's like outside of Baltimore, but man, it's like Pivot, but it's for that community. And she is a MREA. She's grossing $1 million a year by herself without help, because she owns that community and she gives people hope and inspires and promotes progress. So I think that's the big lesson from these.
That's
awesome.
Can you
point to an example for us? Just, I'm curious, this was my question. Like what do agents and realtors say or do, like specifically, what are some niches and other things they can talk about to provide value to the 76208 outside their window?
Well, know what's happening in the 76208, like be engaged in that, be visible in it, go and interview a business owner when their business opens. If they just like in Safety Harbor, the town I live in, it's this little town, 5-square-mile town of 17,000 people, but in a big metro area. It's in the Tampa Bay. It's stuck in the middle of Tampa Bay. But like they closed 4th and Main right down here to redo the brick at the intersection. It was closed for like 4 weeks. But like just posting updates and pictures of the progress of that is something that people want to be engaged in. So
it's interesting. It's interesting to them. Sure.
Yeah, you can do anything, really. I just would add, just think about it. Whatever's happening is of value to somebody. And so let them know what's going on.
I love it. I love it. And I think based on everything that you've said so far, James, I could already probably put this together myself as far as like where to begin when you want to create something big like this. But just tell our listeners, and if you could simplify it as much as possible, what kind of tips, tricks, or advice would you give somebody that would want to do something big and create a big social platform like you did?
Yeah, I am like totally the wrong dude to ask that question to, because I made this up and it just worked. Like, that's the thing. So I think the first thing is, are you filling a need that nobody else is filling? Because that's, I just happened to be first. I was first to fill the need. Mm-hmm. And so that's what brought the people. And because Keller Williams was so great to say, hey, get involved, especially early. You know, they don't say it as much now just because it's got a life of its own. But when it launched, you know, you get on a call and Gary and Jay are going, by the way, get in this Facebook group. Like, come on, people are going to go join the Facebook group. Most of it's very organic, though, for the most part. But I was just first and I filled a need that nobody else was filling. And then we had regular content. I mean, like I said, we're coming up on almost 2.5 years and we're still doing this call every morning that 3,000 people engage with on a daily basis. And mm-hmm. and then there's other content. So I'm very visible in there through video. One of the biggest ones I did recently was I did an Ask Me Anything, and it was, I gave them a week to go submit their questions in advance so I could work on them and come up with answers. And I did a 20-minute video. I answered like 6 questions. And now people text are like, when are you going to do the next one of those? So it's just create this, fill the need that needs to be filled, and then provide quality content to them to grow their life and add value to them. But the content doesn't have to be yours. That's the other secret. Like, I don't have any original content in there. I've written a handful of things, but most of the stuff I do is like, well, let's see what it says on page 115. There are days that I get down to my desk. Like, I know next week, for example, what we're covering. I already know. But there are days that I get in and go, you know what? What are we going to do today? And so I play shift roulette and I open it up and I go, oh, yeah, that sounds good.
I always wondered about
that. Make your buyer pre-qualification and consultation time count. Okay, that sounds that's great. Awesome. We do a call on that for 20 minutes. And that's what we do. So, but here's the thing. And this is what I found out for this group. And I think this is for team leaders and market center leaders. The routine that these agents have created has helped them grow their business. And it's just part of what they do. They get on every morning. I talked to an agent named Donna Gilbert in Stamford, Connecticut. She'd been in the business 18 years. She had never capped, ever. Now, Stamford, Connecticut has like a $35,000 cap. It's an expensive place. So she had a really good business, but didn't cap. And she called me on like June 28th. And she's like, I capped for the first time ever.
Wow.
I'm like, that's so cool. I said, when's your anniversary? Awesome. And of course it was July 1st, but she was so happy that she had this 2 days of 100%. But then she called me the end of December and said, I capped again. Like I'd gone from never capping to I capped twice in the same calendar year. And I said, well, what did you learn from that? She said two things. She said, first, I didn't actually have 18 years of experience. I had 1 year of experience 18 times that I was just repeating the same year over and over again. And she said, but then once I got into a routine where every day I just got up and I get on your call, then I go to a role play call. And then I do like some lead gen on Zoom with people. All of a sudden stuff started to happen. And now she's doing better than she's ever done.
That's awesome.
Hey, can I just have a quick question for you. So when Tristan and I are talking about Facebook groups and how, and why people should create them, or communities and how people should create them, what I have found was groups, especially with real estate agents, they're like, oh, I got to start a real estate group. And that's not necessarily true.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you feel that the most successful groups, or a group, will be more successful when they mirror a passion of the person who starts that group? Like, your passion is clearly education and learning. But do you think that that's true? Like, if a real estate agent,
I do, because that's where I'm going to be most comfortable in education and learning. And so I know I can show up every day and look, not everything I do is great, but most of the stuff's pretty good. I think if I were an agent, I think about Kathy Heide. She's in Miami. She did just under $1 million last year in GCI. The year before, she did 290,000. She went from 290 to just under $1 million in 1 year. Wow. And I said, how did you do it? And she said, I walk my dog. Like, I go to the dog park 4 times a day. I take my dog down there. I meet the people. Like, dogs are her thing. Real estate isn't her thing. Dogs are her thing. So why wouldn't she start like the Dogs of Miami, which you, love I don't it. Know what you might get in that. You better be careful, but like actual 4-legged Dogs of Miami and a Facebook group and do some sort of stuff and talk about dog meetups and play dates and
I love that.
And different dog research. 'Cause that's her lane. And then she becomes the real estate agent for that group. That's a demographic farm is what we would call that. That's exactly what you would be doing. It's what Ellie McIntyre does with Catonsville, Maryland. She's not in there posting all her listings all the time. She's in there doing food drives and like she gives out signs that people put in their yard when they have a graduate. And so people post pictures of them in the community page. Like she's just passionate about her town and that's what helps her win.
So just being passionate about stuff or rather here being who you are. You have a great podcast. You are a dad and you have I've listened a whole bunch. I'm not a dad.
Well, it says, but I say become better parents, partners, and people. Nowhere in there it talks about being a dad, but yeah, it's called Positively Dad. And the pandemic with Pivot, I've taken a back seat on doing new episodes, but I still got 100 like podcast episodes sitting there. But we're relaunching this summer. So I'm excited to bring more episodes.
Yeah.
That's great. Thank you for mentioning it and bringing it up too. That means a lot.
What can they expect from that podcast?
I think, again, the goal is I want to help people become better parents, partners, and people. So I do it because I love being a dad. I have a 10-year-old named Naomi who I love being her dad. She makes it easy to be a dad. But I do it. I remember when I think of Diana Kokoska, one of my mentors, and she used to say, sometimes I'm having a conversation with myself and you just get to listen. And that's how this podcast is. It's about me getting better, but I let you listen in. And I've talked to some pretty cool people on there. I've had, some neat guests. So anybody could learn anything on it.
That's awesome.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's a good one. Check it out. Check it out, y'all.
Thank you, Jesse. You're awesome.
Well, speaking of being a dad, you have a lot of hats that are spinning in the air, right? Yeah. But you also are, you know, very passionate about being a husband and being a father, and you post those moments on social media. Yeah. How do you find balance with those roles?
A schedule. So the key thing is, and I learned this when I was coaching Bold, but because I was traveling all the time. Of course, you and I were talking before recording this, that travel is back up, right? I'm like back on the road every week this summer. My wife, Terry, and I have a weekly date night. It's every Wednesday at 11 o'clock. And we like rarely miss it. And if we are going to miss it, we just move it. You know, like if I have some requirement, I'm going to be out of town. So that's a key one, is the weekly date night. The other one is Naomi is in, that's my daughter. She is in 9 dance classes a week.
Oh my.
And that is her thing. Recital is coming up this weekend.
There's only 7 days in a week.
I know. She's got 9 classes. Yeah. But what I like to do whenever I'm around is I drive her to dance and back. And that's our time just to hang out and chat. Like I know it seems so weird, but you know, it's like 15-20 minutes to dance and back. So I get 40 minutes with her 4 days a week when she's in dance. And I usually sit outside and watch and kind of chat with some other parents, but watch her grow. And that's just my way to, you know, tell her how much I'm supporting her. And I always get in and ask, hey, how do you think it went today? Like you know, how would you rate your effort and what did you learn and where are you struggling? And then I would talk to her about places where I feel like I'm doing well and places where I think I'm struggling. And I'm making it sound super purposeful. It's not, it's just what we do. Like I just happen to drive her to dance, but that's our guaranteed time. And then we'll do daddy daughter, you know, date night a couple times a month. In fact, tonight's one of them. We're just, it's Naomi and me tonight. I'm excited about it.
That's awesome. 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 Well, James, ahead, Leslie. I was going to wrap it up.
No, you can wrap it up. I was just going to say, I think, did you say you have a date night at 11 o'clock p.m.?
No, please. That's ridiculous. Okay. I get up at 5 o'clock. So I'm definitely like, there are nights that I go to bed before Naomi. Like I'm in bed at 8:30, zonked out.
In. Yeah.
So no, 6 o'clock. Date night is 6 o'clock. I live in Florida. Like dinner's at 4. So
date night is 6 o'clock.
Also, the same thing too. Okay.
Also, Nick, maybe worth pointing out. I think maybe that was too close to a sports reference for you to get right, but I think it's balls in the air and hat spinning in the air. I don't think we hit that correct.
You have a lot of hat. Well, okay. You know what? It is a lot of.
I always thought
he's spinning a lot of plates. Balancing a lot of balls. Please. He's wearing a lot of hats.
There you go.
Okay, I like it. All right.
That's good. You know, I just make stuff up as we go along. You know,
I think you nailed it.
But anyway, this has been awesome and a lot of fun. And James, thank you for taking some time to talk to us. We know that, you know, you are bouncing a lot of plates on the ground. And so it's hard.
They never seem to bounce back, though. Every time I bounce their plates,
they break. It's very, very weird. But thanks for being here. If you're not in Pivot Shift Ahead, go to Facebook, search for Pivot Shift Ahead, join the group. You can find James's podcast, Positively Dad. probably where all your favorite podcasts are hosted. And he's starting new episodes up this summer, which will be awesome. I'm excited to learn how to be a better person, parent, and what was the third P?
People, parents, and partners.
There you go. I got all the P's wrong. But thank you so much for being here with us. It's been a lot of fun and we appreciate you. Keep up the good work. And if you're listening to this podcast and you enjoyed it, hit the follow button, hit the subscribe, leave a review, share it with your friends, put it on social media, email it out, text it, do whatever you need to do and help us rise in the rankings. We appreciate you for listening. Have an amazing day, everyone. We'll see you next time on Command.
Bye.